The devotees, actually Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda Prabhu were dancing together. And they were dancing in the middle of all the devotees. And in that kirtan, they induced Jagai and Madhai to join in. And they just became completely ecstatic. Tears were pouring from their eyes. All the ecstatic symptoms were manifested on Jagai and Madhai as they were dancing blissfully with the devotees. The devotees were embracing them. When Lord Chaitanya explained the glories of Jagai and Madhai to these devotees, the devotees just loved him as one of them. In fact, Lord Chaitanya said something else. He said, anyone who feeds Jagai and Madhai puts nectar in the mouth of Lord Krishna. And upon hearing it, even the devotees started taking dust from the feet of Jagai and Madhai. And in this way, Advaitacharya's prediction was fulfilled, that within a matter of days, Jagai and Madhai was blissfully dancing with the Vaishnavas, lovingly chanting the holy name. Krishna, 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 Krishna. After this kirtan went on for many, many, many hours, Lord Chaitanya brought them all to the Ganga to take their bath. Actually, Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat describes that Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda Prabhu delivered Jagai and Madhai, but Advaitacharya also delivered, because it was by his prayer that Lord Chaitanya descended to deliver such demons like Jagai and Madhai. They committed every single sin except one. Up until they met Lord Nityananda, they never blasphemed a Vaishnava. That was the only sin they didn't do, because they never associated with Vaishnavas. Nityananda Prabhu was the first Vaishnava they ever met, and they tried to kill him, but up until that, they never blasphemed a Vaishnava. So therefore, their sins were easily forgiven. Meanwhile, the demigods of the heavenly planets, they had never seen such mercy before. And they live a long time. Some of them had seen many, many avatars come and kill various demons, but they had never seen such mercy like this. So they were singing the glories of Lord Gauranga. And they were coming to see. They wanted to see their own eyes how Jagai and Madhai had become gentle, humble, loving devotees. This is inconceivable, incredible, impossible. In fact, Yamaraj, he wanted to see with his own eyes. He asked his secretary, Chitragupta, while they were on their airplane together, looking over Navadvip. He said, please tell me, what was the extent of the sins of Jagai and Madhai? And Chitragupta said, it's impossible to explain. He said, we have an entire department in Yamaloka just to record their sins. Just the scribes who write down their sins, there are 100,000 scribes. And they work day and night. And the messengers that are coming to tell the scribes all the various reports of their sins, these messengers, they're completely exhausted. They're practically working 24-hour-a-day shifts. And the scribes, they can't keep up with the messengers. And there's 100,000. They're all practically on the level of nervous breakdown. Some of them are practically suicidal. The sins of Jagai and Madhai have never been seen before in the history of this world. And yet, Lord Chaitanya has taken that vast, gigantic mountain of all recorded sins and reduced them to the size of a mustard seed and thrown it in the ocean. When Yamaraj heard this, he was so astounded that he fell unconscious. Now please, it takes a lot to make Yamaraj faint. I mean, an ordinary person, if they saw what goes on in Yamaloka, they would faint in a second. Yamaraj never fainted before. But when he heard about the extent of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda's causeless mercy, he was so overwhelmed that he fell unconscious on the chariot. There was no symptoms of life. And meanwhile, all the other demigods just were passing by, and they were really concerned. Brahma, Shiva, Indra, Varuna, Vayu, Agni, they all came and asked Chitragupta, what happened to Yamaraj? And he told them that seeing the inconceivable, supreme, causeless mercy of Nitai Gaurachandra, he has lost consciousness. Seeing Jagai and Madhai dancing in ecstasy as humble Vaishnavas was too much for Yamaraj. So Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva both started loudly chanting the names of Lord Gauranga in the ears of Yamaraj for quite some time. And when he finally came to consciousness, hearing the sound of Lord Gauranga's name, he just became wild with bliss. He started dancing, dancing, dancing as everyone was singing the glories of the holy name. He was dancing. He was dancing like a total madman. And the Yamadutas were dancing with him. Ecstatically chanting the holy name. Intoxicated with the holy names of Lord Gauranga, all the demigods entered into this kirtan. Lord Shiva started dancing. He was dancing so wild, clothed only in the four directions. His matted hair was just flying, scattering in all directions as he was screaming out the holy names of Lord Gauranga. And behind him, dancing with the same enthusiasm, was Ganesh and Kartikeya. For those of you from Maharashtra, you should take note of this. Ganapati is dancing and ecstasy, chanting the holy names of the Lord. And Lord Brahma with his mouths were just filling directions with the glories of Lord Chaitanya. And along with the dancing, Damamuni, Daksha, Bhadraj Muni, all various Prajapatis, sages, they were having a wonderful, wonderful kirtan along with Brahmaji, dancing, abandoning all social conditions. Ecstatic love. All his eight eyes pouring effusive tears of ecstatic devotion, Lord Gauranga. Narada Muni, overwhelmed by seeing the deliverance of Jagai and Madha, a compassionate devotee, was absolutely blissful. He was dancing, completely oblivious to the entire external world. In fact, during the dance, he lost his vina. And Garuda began to dance with Anantashesh. Anantashesh has 1,000 mouths. He was chanting very, very loudly the holy name. As Garuda and Anantashesh danced together, Sukadeva Swami appeared. And all the great rishis, they all gathered together to chant the glories of Lord Garuda and Lord Nityananda Prabhu. Such mercy, such forgiveness, such love for the fallen souls was never done before. Now Jagai and Madhai became very, very sincere. Madhai being a strict brahmachari. Jagai and Madhai chanted minimum 200,000 names of Krishna every day. And they actually live by the principle. Trinadapi sunichena dor ivasi hishnana. Amanina manadena taniya sada. Came humble like grass in the street. Such a transformation of heart. But still Madhai, he was feeling so guilty. He was thinking, I attacked to kill Nityananda Prabhu, whose soft and tender heart forgave me and gave me love of God. I hurt him. I beat him in the head. I made him bleed. It was causing so much pain to his heart. One day in a suited place, Madhai fell at Nityananda Prabhu's lotus feet and offered beautiful prayers. Beautiful prayers. Said, your body is the instrument of so much love and service to the Lord in all creation. Your body becomes the Lord's bed, the Lord's shoes, the Lord's throne, the Lord's ornaments. Your body is so soft, so gentle. It is the very personification of love. It is the dearest thing to Lord Gauranga. And beat your body with that pot. I made it bleed. Lord Nityananda smiled. And he said, you are like my little child. If a little baby child hits his father, father does not take it very seriously. You are forgiven. Please do not be in any doubt about that. But I offended so many people. And whoever and I was always intoxicated. I don't even know who offended. So can I beg for them to forgive me? This is like, it's like fire in my heart. I've caused pain to others. How could I get forgiveness? Nityananda Prabhu instructed Madhai that everyone in Navadvipa bathe in the Ganga. And sometimes with great difficulty they have to take bath. So with your own hands, dig a beautiful ghat so that people bathe in Ganga very comfortably. By doing this, you will be serving Mother Ganga. She will remove. That is great service. She remove all offenses. And anyone who comes to bathe in your ghat, you fall at their feet to beg forgiveness and serve them with your heart and soul. And in this way, you will be forgiven. So I took that order as his last soul. With a spade in his hand, he spent a long time just building a bathing ghat, single-handedly. Such a meaning service. And when he finished the ghat, he invited everyone and anyone to come bathe in it. And whoever came, he offered his prostrated obeisances at their feet. It didn't matter who they were, woman, child, he fell at their feet with genuine tears of repentance in his eyes and begged them, please forgive me. And then he acted as the absolute menial servant of everyone who came, carry their clothes, carry some water, to do anything they wanted to do. This way, Madhai melted everyone's hearts. But our very dear godbrother, Janani Prabhu, told me once a beautiful story that sometimes a person was so angry with Madhai because of his past activities. And thudded his head. And I would pick up that rock, give it back to them, and say, please, throw it again, you deserve more. And even that person would melt. So Madhai spent the rest of his life chanting the holy name, serving the Vaishnavas, and having compassion to living beings. He lived in this place for a long time. There is a place just close by called Madhai Ghat, where he would sometimes bathe, and left his body. I have been told by the people here that Jagat Samadhi is in Vrindavan. Madhai's Samadhi is right here, on the outskirts of Kaka. Today we have had the very, very rare and special fortune to receive because in the story of Jagai and Madhai awakens great hope. However sinful, however fallen, however many conditionings and addictions we may have, there is hope. If we simply accept the mercy of Gaur Nitai with faith, then we can too dance eternally in the Sankirtan of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is the power of the holy name and the compassion of the Vaishnavas. It is for this reason that Srila Prabhupada established Gaur Nitai deities all over the world. We will see in most Gaudiya Mats, there's Radha, Krishna, and Lord Chaitanya. But when Srila Prabhupada, especially when he went to the West, he established Gaur Nitai. And then later on, he would sometimes establish Radha and Krishna. Why is that? Because Srila Prabhupada understood that for people who are very sinful, the mercy of Lord Nityananda is an absolute necessity. And today India is becoming very much non-different than the West as far as sinful activities are concerned. It is a fact. The mercy of Lord Nityananda is essential, because in the mercy of Lord Nityananda we can gain the full-fledged blessings of Sri Chaitanya. And the proof of that is Jagai and Madhai. Srila Prabhupada had such unlimited faith in the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. In Atlanta, Georgia, he installed beautiful brass deities of Gaur Nitai. Once when he was there, before Srimad Bhagavatam class, instead of chanting Jai Radha Madhava, he chanted this prayer by Lochan Das Thakur. Parama Karuna Pahundu Hija Nitai Gora Chandra. And after that song, when he began to explain the nature of the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, tears poured from his eyes and he went into a spiritual trance. He could not speak. He simply just went into trance silently. And then he just said, chant Hare Krishna. And that was the end of the class. One of the shortest classes he ever gave, but one of the most instructive. He was seeing the evidence of the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. And all of these people from all walks of life who were living pure Vaishnav lifestyles. So here, at the place of Madhai Teal, let us pray for this faith. Let us pray for this implicit faith in the mercy of Gaur Nitai and those blessed servants who are carrying their grace into our lives. Thank you very much. It is now 1:15. Hare Krishna. Because of the time restraints today, we will adjust our schedule as follows. The plan today is we'll go to Katwa, to the ashram of Keshav Bharati Maharaj, where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted the sannyas vows. And from there we will go to Srikanda, which is a wonderful place, the home of many great Vaishnavas and many beautiful stories. Last time we went to Srikanda, we got back to Mayapur Chandrudaya Mandir at 3 o'clock in the morning. I will not go into many details. It was a longer than usual bus ride. So we do not want to do that again. So we will speak for just 1 or 2 minutes about Lord Chaitanya's sannyas lila, and perhaps another time in the yatra we will speak in more length. When Lord Chaitanya was in Navadvip, he was inundating millions of people's lives with Braj Prem through Harinam. But he saw that there were certain arrogant people who were very much criticizing him. Even some of these smarter Brahman students, they were accusing him of very, very blasphemous things. So Lord Chaitanya felt such deep compassion for all of them. And he decided within his heart that the only way these people can be relieved of their sins and become spiritually awakened is if they offer obeisances to me. And if I take sannyas, everyone will offer obeisances to me. So it was out of compassion for the most arrogant and fallen souls that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decided to take sannyas. But to take sannyas means to leave his poor, aged, widowed mother, Sachi, to leave his most chaste and loving wife, Vishnupriya, who was only in her teenage years. They had given their life, their soul, their everything for him. It would mean he would leave Navadvip, where he was having kirtan in Srivasangam all night, every night, with his most intimate, loving associates. It would mean he would have to leave his wonderful home with his deities. And what a home it was, with a loving wife, a loving mother, the most loving friends, the most loving servants. And he would have to wear the drab saffron of a sannyasi, leave home, shave his beautiful hair. The ultimate expression of compassion was Lord Chaitanya's acceptance of sannyas. It is the highest expression of the Lord's love for us. He's even willing to give up the association of the goddess of fortune to give us the holy name. When the news that he was going to take sannyas began to spread throughout Navadvip, it was devastating. That we can discuss another time. But on the day of Makara Sankranti, so many people, thousands of people were coming to Lord Chaitanya's house to see him. And he decided that that night he was going to leave. The last person to come was Kulaveta Sridhar at night. He brought one of the pumpkins that grew from his roof. They didn't know he was going to leave that night. Only Nityananda and four others. And Lord Chaitanya, this was a very deep experience for him. This will be the last time he will have Kulaveta Sridhar's pumpkins, which are offerings of such pure and simple love. He had his mother cook it in milk. Vishnupira wept, begging him to stay. But ultimately, she accepted that whatever pleases the Lord, whatever helps his mission, she's willing to endure. Sachi Mata was pleading and begging and crying, "Do not leave me. If you leave me, I will die." Lord Chaitanya tried to pacify her. And ultimately, when everyone was sleeping, he left his room. But when he came to the door, Sachimata was standing at guard. But when she saw him about to leave, she became stunned like a statue. So the Lord spoke very sweet, loving words to his mother, asked her permission, and by his own potency, he made her head go like this. He circumambulated her and left his home, never to return. In the darkness of the night, all alone, he approached the river Ganga and swam all the way across it to what is now called Nidai Ghat. And from there, he walked to Katwa. We drove in buses today, but he walked alone, barefoot. And when he came here to Katwa, he went to the ashram of Keshav Bharati and told him, I want to take sannyas. And Keshav Bharati said, that is impossible. You're only 24 years old, and you're so beautiful. And to cut that hair, that would be the greatest sin. And what to speak of your mother? She's a helpless widow depending on you, and your young wife. Why? But the Lord insisted. And as Keshav Bharati became inclined, the people of Katwa heard, and they were absolutely outraged. They said, if anybody cuts his hair, if anyone tortures his mother by letting him take sannyas, we will not stand for it. They were threatening Keshav Bharati. We will break down your whole ashram and throw it in the Ganges if you do this. So there was a demonstration. Meanwhile, Lord Chaitanya saw that it was a very tense situation. So he started kirtan. The kirtan went on all night. And everyone was so intoxicated with Krishna praying by watching Lord Chaitanya dancing in ecstasy and hearing him chanting. Everyone was just lost all connection to the material existence. And when everybody was in that transcendental state of consciousness beyond the modes of nature, he told the barber, cut my hair. And the barber, whose name was Madhu, I cannot cut this hair. Lord Chaitanya's beautiful silken black hair was the very embodiment of all spiritual beauty. It was impossible. He didn't have the heart to do it. But Lord Chaitanya ordered him. As he took the scissors, he could see there was just torrents of tears flowing from his eyes. But the Lord said, cut it. So on the Lord's order, the soul within, he was unwilling to do so. But the Paramatma within his heart, who was Lord Chaitanya himself, induced him to do it anyway. And as the hair began to fall, then everybody came out of their kirtan ras and realized, it's happening. People were falling to the ground, rolling in the ground, screaming, crying. Nityananda Prabhu was there. Rishikaracharya was there, Mukunda was there, Jagadatha was there. They were beside themselves with grief as the Lord's hair was falling. Every hair that fell was just breaking their hearts into millions and millions of pieces. The whole of Katwa was just rolling on the ground, screaming and weeping in agony to see the Lord's hair falling. Such a pathetic thing is incomprehensible for the mind to really envision. And when he was half shaven, Lord Chaitanya was in such ecstasy, he just started dancing and singing. And as Madhu finished the job, actually people were crying, screaming, "Stop, stop." The beautiful story, Srinivasacharya's father was on his way to his in-law's house, and he just happened to pass Ganga when this scene was going on. Inundation. After the Lord shaved his head, the barber Madhu vowed to never cut another hair for the rest of his life. But because he touched Lord Chaitanya's hair, his hands became sweet, took up the occupation of a meat maker. Can you imagine what kind of delicious sweets he ate with that same hand? Lord Chaitanya took his bath in the Ganga, and then he turned to Keshav Bharati Maharaj after he was given his saffron robes, his danda. He said, "I had a dream," he whispered in his ear. He said, "I had a dream, and in the dream, I heard this mantra." And he whispered a mantra in Keshav Bharati's ear. Keshav Bharati said, "That is a very good mantra." And then Keshav Bharati initiated him in the mantra. It is the sannyas mantra. After Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted the vows, his Guru Maharaj gave him the name Sri Krishna Chaitanya, because he will awaken Krishna consciousness in the hearts of the world. Sri Krishna Chaitanya. That name was given to the Gauranga in Katwa, under a beautiful tree where the initiation took place. We will see that tree. After Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu received the mantra and took the vows, and after he received his name, he became so ecstatic. He started dancing. Big kirtan. And Keshav Bharati was a very elderly, senior, brave person. But he induced him to dance. And Lord Chaitanya and Keshav Bharati were dancing and dancing and dancing for hours, embracing one another. Then the Lord said, "Now that I'm a sannyasi, I'm going to Vrindavan." And Keshav Bharati said, "I'm going with you." And everyone said, "We're all going with you." So they all started dancing in kirtan to Vrindavan Dham. And ultimately, Lord Chaitanya told Keshav Bharati and the residents of Katwa to return. And he went with his associates. But as we know, Lord Nityananda Prabhu had another idea. Lord Chaitanya's beautiful hairs being cut is a symbol of his supreme love and compassion to all living beings. And therefore they put his hair in samadhi. When we go to Katwa, we will see the tree under which Lord Chaitanya was initiated. We will see the deities of Keshav Bharati Maharaj, and we will also see the Samadhi Mandir of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's hair. And we will not have katha there, because if we do, we probably won't get back to the temple till 4 o'clock in the morning. We will just have kirtan there, and we can visit those very sacred places, and then we'll just continuous kirtan, and then go to the buses to Srikanda, where we will have prasad, then katha, then we will have the darshans of Narahari Sarakar's Gauranga Murti and Raghunandan Prabhu's Gopinath Murti. And then we will return to to Prabhupada's home, his place of worship, ISKCON, Mayapur Chandrudaya Mandir. Is that our devotees? Very well. It's our children? Very nice. They are trained well. So let us fall down in the dust of this holy place, begging Sri Madhai for his mercy, that we can too, that by his mercy we can have such faith in the mercy of Gaur Nitai and the Vaishnavas. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.